talk today about the influence of host resistance and nitrogen levels on bipolaris leaf spot. This is more of an applied approach, looking at host resistance. Bipolaris leaf spot is a pretty important disease in warm season grasses, but particularly in Bermuda grass. And many of you might remember it formerly called Helminthosporium leaf spot. And during that time, there were several organisms, or this genera of fungi, and they infected warm and cool season grasses. And within the last 30 years, they've separated out this Helminthosporium genus into three genera, Dreschlera being the pathogen of cool season grasses, and Bipolaris and Exorahylum primarily on the warm season grasses. And we're finding Bipolaris probably, you know, the most important of those pathogens inciting leaf spot of Bermuda grass. And within the Bipolaris genus, there's three species, fungal species, Cynodonis, Spicifera, and Sorokiana. excuse me. Cynodontis is primarily a pathogen when the temperatures are in 70 to 80 degrees, and it'll infect the leaves primarily. The Spicifera likes hotter temperatures, into the 80s, into the low 90s, and it'll infect the leaves, crowns, and roots, so we get a crown and root rot from this. And Sorokiniana is a little bit across the board, but primarily a leaf infector, and it will also attack cool season grasses as well. We primarily see this disease, the leaf spot disease, in the spring and fall of the year. It's, you know, when it's the worst case scenario, but we do see leaf spot throughout the growing season from the time of green up to the time of dormancy. The symptoms you'll see on the leaves include, initially you'll see pinpoint lesions that are kind of a purplish to brown, and they'll expand and develop a necrosis, a necrotic center, and as disease progress continues, the leaves will blight out, and causing complete dieback. And when the plant is infected, this disease initiates at the lower leaves within the canopy, and as you can see, it works up to the younger leaves. And if you looked up at this younger leaf with a hand lens, you probably could see a very small leaf spot initiating there. So, as a result of what the plant looks like in the turf, we can see yellow to bronzing. This is a Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass green, and back in here is 419, and it had a pretty high infestation of Bipolaris, and after a significant rainfall and running across the green became infected and blighted out. And there's a problem there, because when superintendents see blight like this and it follows the flow of water, they think Pythium. And so they go out with the Subdue Max and Coban treatments, and they cannot get rid of this problem. They don't see any control, because primarily it's just a misdiagnosed disease. But leaf spot can be this bad, and at this point, we call that a melting out. In this lower picture, this is Bermuda grass that was overseeded with perennial ryegrass on a football field. And you can see that coppery bronze color. This is November in Mississippi, and the disease is just exploding on this turf. And in this area, it's not resistant grass, but it's a fungicide control. So we do get some control from fungicides. In home lawn situations where the turf is higher, irrigation is not as readily acceptable. Sometimes we see more of a desiccated, drought stressed look, but if you go into the canopy, you'll see plants that have the symptoms as I showed in the first slide. Now, I'm very interested in Bermuda grass because that's a prevalent turf in our area in Mississippi and in the Deep South, but we've got an insurgence of these seeded Bermuda grasses coming on, particularly in the 1990s and or late 1990s, and I was very interested in them because we were starting to see these improved types of Bermuda grasses with improved cold tolerance, improved resistance to disease, and one that I'm excited about is spring dead spot. The seeded Bermuda grasses are suitable for all turf settings, anywhere from golf courses to home lawns. An advantage of it, it's fast establishment, it's economical, it's good for homeowners and, you know, sports fields, high school field folks that are managing turf. And it's really nice because you can use these grasses to renovate small areas without having to go in and vegetatively sprig and take the time to get the growing from vegetation. So these are the hosts that I'm going to be looking at. And the first thing I did several years ago was to evaluate all these different improved seeded Bermuda grasses in the greenhouse. So we looked at Arizona Common, we looked at Sahara, Savannah, Transcontinental, Princess 77, Yukon, and Riviera. And we cleaned the seeds, surface disinfested, put them into sterile soil and grew them up for 6 weeks, and we maintained a canopy of 13 centimeters. We had 5 replications in the greenhouse experiments, and per cultivar, randomized complete block. We did analysis of variance using ProcMix, and we repeated it, this experiment. In order to inoculate the plants, we used a conidial suspension of biplayer spicifera, and we used spicifera because of the hot temperatures in the greenhouse. They were like, this was in September in Mississippi, so the greenhouse temperatures were pretty much in the 80 to 90 to low 100 degrees, and so we chose this particular species to do our greenhouse test. After we inoculated them, we covered the pots in plastic and put them in indirect light for 96 hours, low light. And then after that, we rated for percent leaf spot infection. And over the two experiments, we found that Yukon had the greatest rate of leaf spot infection, similar to Savannah. And then Arizona Common was similar with Savannah, but then we were looking at Transcontinental, Princess, Sahara, and Riviera, and they were not as infected, not as symptomatic as the Yukon. And this is what the grass looked like after we took the pots off and evaluated. And the first thing that struck me is when you talk about epidemiology, fungi like a moist environment, and the macro or the micro environment in a turf like this that is dense, highly dense, it's going to hold the moisture a lot longer. So the environment's more conducive in this pot for infection. But we see this open, airy plant of Yukon, and these are the yellow blighted leaves. Yukon's a more upright and open growth plant, so you know these were allowed to grow. But we saw more disease in this Yukon than we did in the Riviera, despite the Riviera's compact growth habit. So the objectives after I was, you know, seeing this stuff in the greenhouse, I wanted to see how these cultivars performed in the field. And then another thing, because I work a lot with superintendents and sports field managers, and they're interested in, you know, fertility and everything. And based on the literature, when the Helminthosporium group, we've learned over the past that increased nitrogen increased susceptibility. Well, when I looked in the literature, it was all based on Kentucky bluegrass and the cool season turf. So I wanted to see, you know, how does nitrogen influence disease, leaf spot severity in our Bermuda grasses? So that was my second objective. So in August of 2005, we set up some 1.2 by 1.2 meter plots in the field. We used a seeding rate of 0.91 kilograms of pure live seed per 93 square meters. And at the time, we put out a 0.45 kilograms of nitrogen as a starter for the seedlings. And then we covered the seed with seed guard, watered it, and after 5 days, removed the seed guard. The seed guard, number one, helped prevent the seeds from moving into adjacent plots and getting mixed up within the total study. Plus, it helped maintain humidity and moisture. We didn't have to water as often, and we got a quicker germination with that seed guard. And after 14 days, when I was going out there, I saw that there's some leaf spot occurring in these seedlings, so I rated the seedlings for leaf spot. And these were pictures I took to do digital analysis imaging. And as I was looking at them, I was seeing that within, number one, the first thing you see is, you know, the growth habit, and some are germinating quicker. We have better establishment in some very fast growing and others are slower to germinate. But I also saw in some of the plots like Yukon, there were dead little cotyledons. And when I looked, there were lesions on those cotyledons, and Bipolaris did come from that when we plated it. And over in Sahara, we saw a little bit of leaf blight, as well as down in the canopy of Arizona common and savanna. Now, all the seed that we used were straight from the producers, so there were seed coats on there. And Riviera does have a seed coat that includes the fungicides, two of them, fludioxanil and metalaxyl, but those two fungicides do not control leaf spots. So the fact that when you see the results, we didn't have a high level of leaf spot severity, it wasn't due to the fungicide. But again, I thought it was pretty interesting to see the difference in the establishment of these seeded Bermuda grasses as well as their leaf spot severity. So what I did to evaluate, well, how much leaf spot is out there, I looked at infection centers, which pretty much included about an inch in diameter, little hot spots, points of infection within the plots of these different Bermuda grass cultivars. And at the 14-day seedling, Savannah had the highest rate of infection centers across all the plots. Coming through down to Arizona Common, Yukon, and Transcontinental were similar, all the way down to Riviera and Princess 77 in Sahara. But Riviera, actually, I couldn't find any leaf spot on any of the leaves or within those plots. So then that was seeding in, and they were growing through the fall. And in the following spring, when we had green up, we went ahead and started looking at the host resistance and the influence of nitrogen. So in April, we went ahead and put out 40.45 kilograms of nitrogen. And then in May, we started our nitrogen treatments that included no nitrogen, 0.23, 0.45, and 0.91 kilograms of nitrogen per 93 square meters, which equals 0.5, 1, and 2 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. We relied on natural infestation for disease because in monitoring the turf, B. cynodonis was out there big time, so we were pretty confident in the disease pressure. We had monthly ratings, which we used a leaf spot severity rating of 1 to 9, with 9 being no disease. And these treatments were set up in a completely random design, 3 reps per nitrogen treatment per cultivar. And we used the analysis repeated measures using ProcMix to analyze the data. And in the source table of the repeated measures, we were most interested in the cultivar by nitrogen interaction, which we found was not significant. However, cultivars were highly significant. So in looking at how the data broke out and the performance of these seeded Bermuda grasses, the Arizona Common, Sahara, Savannah, and Transcontinental were all similar with levels of disease of 6, which it's acceptable. We didn't lose plots, so the disease pressure was there, but we saw that the Yukon Princess 77 in Riviera broke out and had significantly less disease than the other seeded Bermuda grasses. So in conclusion, for this first year, we saw inherent levels of Bipolaris leaf spot resistance among these seeded Bermuda grass cultivars. It was interesting that nitrogen did not influence leaf spot within the cultivars from especially Arizona Common that was, you know, pretty susceptible and had some good infection throughout the season. That thought of, you know, putting out too much nitrogen, you're going to predispose the grass to leaf spot. We kind of found that for this first year, it didn't work. Princess 77, Yukon, and Riviera seem to have improved resistance to the Bipolaris leaf spot in the field compared to the other cultivars. So to use this information in the Deep South, when we're talking about Bermuda grasses, I would recommend selecting a seeded Bermuda grass cultivar with enhanced resistance to Bipolaris leaf spot. We know that we can apply nitrogen at the rates of 0 to 2 pounds per 1,000 square feet without predisposing that plant. So the fertility levels, the managers have some kind of a leeway with how much nitrogen they want to put out according to their turf management requirements. Now, these studies were repeating in 2007. We're just finishing up. I believe after the freeze last night, our grass will probably be dormant. And we're going to repeat this again in 2008 because, you know, I realize just 1 year is not going to tell us what is going on with these different seeded Bermuda grass cultivars. And we're also monitoring the pathogens associated with the symptoms throughout the growing season. And to date, we're still finding bipolar cynodontis is the primary pathogen in the spring and fall of the year, and Spicifera tends to increase as our summer months, June through August, when the temperatures are increasing. So at this time, if you have any questions or... Yes, sir. The Arizona Common, I believe we bought it from our local co-op.
Do you have New Mexico?
Yes. Yeah, because I got the seed from Dr. Munshaw's group.
There's a very little common left. It's mostly New Mexico because of the high seed yield over the last 15 years. The growers have been growing out. Make sure that you have Arizona Common.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? And they don't even have to tell you that it's Sahara?
No, it's right in the record. But it's very little Arizona
common left. Okay. Question?
How do these three cultivars that you said have some resistance stack up against some of the vegetative cultivars? What are they?
As far as turf quality, texture, density, color, they're right up there with the TIF Way and the TIF Sport and the NTEP trials, I believe. For instance, 77, one of the other ones was similar as far as turf quality and everything. And they hold up well to traffic. And they're...
In terms of resistance,
I don't know because I didn't include any of the in this trial. But what I see out in the field and going to golf courses is TIF Way gets... You know, a good level and a good amount of leaf spot, I would say probably similar to the Transcontinental, which Transcontinental has kind of fallen in between the two of those groups. And now, TIF Sport I haven't looked at, but the problem that we have on the Ultra Dwarf Bermuda grasses, they just get hammered and they're very susceptible, maybe because of the way in which they're slow growing and the management pressures of that grass. But I've seen football fields, that one football field was TIF Way that we looked at, and it was pretty well hammered with leaf spot. So I'd say they're a little bit better just based on my observations in the field. Yes?
Did you test Yuma? Did you say you had...
I didn't have Yuma in there, no. I wanted to put in so, of course, a lot more, but you can see land-wise, and it was, I got that little space, and they were like, take it. So, but any other questions? Yes?
At what time of year do you see the cynodontis?
We see cynodontis start in April, and then April, May, June, and by July, it's really falling down, and in July and August, I might have found cynodontis on two lesions that we plated out of, I think, 240 lesions. But then we started seeing Spicifera, and I did see a little bit of Exra hylum come in there, rostratum. It was in there as well. And then this fall, we're seeing the cynodontis start to come back again.
Is that the one that leaves the smallest black flecks, just
the flecks with least amount of fluorosis generally? The cynodontis? You know, I think they're all similar as far as their symptoms and the destruction they do in that turf, because I've seen symptoms that are very tiny pinpoint and Spicifera comes out. And what we initially did was this past April we collected pinpoint lesions and then mature lesions with necrosis, and cynodontis came out of everything. So that was one thing I wanted to find out, and obviously cynodontis, that's the way it starts.
On your rating scale, you had that, was the percent infection, was that incidence or severity?
That was pretty more incidence, yes, yeah. It was kind of hard to rate because some of the plots hardly had any turf in them, and so I looked at those localized areas where the turf was dead or symptomatic, so it was more incidence. You're right.
Well, if you don't have any questions, thank you.
Thank you all.
Yeah.